We continue in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Gittin with lesson number 16. We will begin this evening with the fifth perek, the first and second Mishnah. Perek Chamishi, Mishnah Aleph, and Mishnah Beis. Now this perek is not directly involved with the topic of Gittin, of Gittin Noshim, of divorces, but rather continues the list of tikkunim, of instituted improvements that were proclaimed by Chazal at various times in Jewish history for the benefit of the economy, for the benefit of society, etc. And we learned about many of these takanos in the fourth perek, and this continues to some extent over the next several mishnayos. Our first mishnah deals with three types of tashlumim, of payments, compensatory payments, which a person is obligated to pay. Number one, a person is obligated to pay for the damages that he or his property causes. So that's the tashlumei nezek, tashlumin, compensation, which is due because of the damage caused to another person. A second category is the repayment of a loan, tashlumei chov. If I borrow money from someone and the time has come for me to repay it, I must repay it. A third category is the money that a husband owes to his wife for her ksuva if and when he divorces her, or his estate owes to his widow if he dies. What all these three have in common is that if the case where the person, the mazik, the one who caused the damage, the lover, the borrower, or the husband, has no money, has no ready cash, then the victim, or the victim of the damages, or the lender, or the woman, has the right to collect from his real estate, from his karka, from his land. Our Mishnah will teach us that there are three types, three levels of karka, of land. There's the best quality, which is called idis. There's the middle quality, which is called beinonis. And then there is the least valuable land, which is called ziburis. The Mishnah says, Hanizokin shomin lohem boidis. People who have been damaged and come to collect the compensation for the damage caused by another person, they come to collect from this other person. If that other person does not have cash, or he does not have easily sold items, jewelry or whatever, with which to pay the nezek, he must pay from his fields, from his houses, from his real estate, from his karka. The Mishnah says, "Hanizokin shomen lohem bo'idis." That means we figure out how much the damages are worth, let's say $1,000, and we go and we evaluate his various lands, the land that he owns, and we designate $1,000 worth of the best land that he has to give to the nizik as compensation for the victim. This, of course, is a pasuk in the Torah. In Parshas Mishpotim, in Shemos Perek Chof Beis, Pasuk Dalet, we learn that in the case of damages inflicted upon another person, Meitav Sodehu Umeitav Karmo Yishalem. The mazik, the person who caused the damage, must give Meitav, the best of his field, the best of his vineyard. There is a classic machlokis between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yishmael holds that we assess the Meitav Sodehu Shel Nizik, the best field of the victim of the damages, meaning that the mazik, the perpetrator of the damages, does not pay from the best of his fields, but rather from the fields that he has, which correspond to the best fields owned by the victim. So if the mazik has all sorts of fields, best, medium, and least worthy, and his least worthy fields, his ziburis, his lowest quality field, is equal to the iddis, the best quality of the nizik, of the victim, then he doesn't have to pay from his personal best fields, which are two or three levels higher than the victim's best field. But rather he can pay from his least valuable fields, which correspond to the most valuable field of the nizik, of the victim. So holds Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Akiva says, no, meita sodeyu shel mazik, that if the mazik has fields which are far superior to the best fields of the nizik, of the victim, nevertheless, the mazik must give from his best fields, from his iddis, iddis shel mazik. There are two opinions in the Gemara. According to one opinion, our Mishnah is following Rabbi Yishmael, that we look at the iddis shel nizik, generally, min ha-Torah, meitav sodeihu means meitav sodeihu shel nizik in the verse, in the posuk in the Torah. But mipnei tikkun ha-olam, so that people should be very careful not to inflict damages upon another, we require mipnei tikkun ha-olam, even according to Rabbi Yishmael, that we assess the best fields of the mazik, even if they are far superior to the best fields of the nizik. Another opinion the Gemara holds, that our Mishnah is following Rabbi Akiva, and even min ha-Torah, not mipnei tikkun ha-olam, even min ha-Torah, the nizik can collect from the iddis shel mazik, from the best fields of the mazik, even if they are far superior to his best fields. And the Torah itself requires meitav sodehu mipnei tikkun ha'olam. In other words, the tikkun ha'olam here is not imposed by Chazal at some later period of history, but rather the reason the Torah imposed this ability to collect from the meitav sodehu shel mazik, from the mazik's best fields, is mipnei tikkun ha'olam. This would follow the hermeneutic approach, the approach of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is doresh taimo dekro. Rabbi Shimon tries to understand the reason for the posuk, the reason, kavayochel, why God insisted that the damages be collected from the meitav shodehu shel mazik. The reason there, the God's reason, so to speak, is bipnei tikkun ha'olam. Mishnah continues. Uva alchov ba'benonis. The person who is the creditor, the person who's coming to collect his debt, collects from the middle value field that the lender, the borrower has. Meaning, when the lender comes to collect money from the borrower, we assess the middle level, the benonis level, of the karka, of the fields of the borrower. The reason being, because min ha-Torah, the ba'al chov, the creditor, can only collect from the ziburis, from the least valuable fields of the borrower. Because the posuk says, v'ho'ish enforim chof talit, posuk yud aleph, that the man you're collecting from will bring the avot, the payment, outside to you. Now, what kind of a avot is the borrower likely to bring out to him if he has a choice? He will bring out the least he can get away with. And that will cause lenders not to want to lend money because they can only collect min haTorah from Tziburis. So mipnei tikkun ha'olam, in order to stimulate lending, kedei shelo tino delis bifnei lovin, so that borrowers should not have the door slammed in their face when they want to borrow, the Chachamim said, ba'al chov bebeinonis. This is one opinion in the Gemara, and there are other opinions. The Mishnah continues, uchesu bas isha baziburis. When a woman comes to collect from her ex-husband who has divorced her, so she can collect a value stipulated in the kesuvo, but she can only collect from ziburis, from the lowest level, the lowest valued fields in possession of her ex-husband. The reason being, because a baal chov too, a normal creditor who's owed money, not a divorced woman, but a creditor who's owed money, min haTorah can only collect from ziburis. Bipnei tikkun ha'olam, they upped it for the baal chov to be able to collect pain on this so that he will be willing to lend. By an isha, the Gemara feels, we do not need to encourage men to marry women, or women to marry men, because women want to marry, they want to be married, so we don't have to give her an extra incentive to marry in order and promise her that if she's divorced, she'll get bein on this. We can leave it at the level the Torah stipulated, which is ziburis. However, Rabbi Meir disagrees, and he holds af kesubas isha babenonis. A divorced woman is no different from a creditor, and she too can collect from benonis, from the middle level quality of the fields of her ex-husband, if he divorced, in the case of divorce, or we will see in later Mishnayos the situation if she is collecting from the estate of her dead husband. Mishnah Beis continues with a important concept, and I want to just define the terms and then allow me to use the Hebrew terms without referring to the, some people find this quite complex, situation or condition or type of debt or type of guaranteed land that is referred to here. The basic rule is this. Suppose a person causes damages to another. Reuven damages Shimon. And he does so on the first day of the year. That's not doing a Rosh Hashanah. On Tzom Gedalia. Alright? The third day of Tishrei, the damage occurs. As soon as the damage occurs, from that point on, the Mazik owes the Nizik the damages. The damages are $1,000. He owes him $1,000. Suppose, Erev Yom Kippur, a week later, the Mazik, who now owes $1,000 of his land, sells that land to another person, to Lekuchos, to a buyer, a third party. Now, Matzoy Yom Kippur, the Nizik comes to collect. The Mazik says, I have no money. Whatever land I had, I sold to so-and-so. But since he sold it to so-and-so, if the damages happened, so he was already obligated to pay from that land, and he went and sold it. So the Nizik has the right to go to the Lekuchos, to go to this third party who bought the field from the Mazik subsequent to the Nizik, and collect from him. Now the land that is held in the possession of the Lekuchos, of this third party who bought it from the Mazik, that land in this situation is called Nechosim Mishubadim. It's called property which is actually obligated to someone else. When you bought it, you, Mr. Lekuach, you, the Lekuchos, bought it from the Mazik, but you bought it because it was already encumbered. It was already owed, so to speak, to the Nizik because of the damages that the Mazik, the seller, owed to the Nizik. So that's called Nechosim Mishubadim. And we will learn that in the absence of Nechosim B'nei Chorin, if the mazik has no other property, and the only property he has is that which he sold after the nezek to these lekuchos, then the nizik has the right to collect from the chasim mishubotim, to collect from those lekuchos. A similar situation could, of course, occur with a debt. Suppose a person borrowed money on Tzom Gedalia and then went on Erev Yom Kippur and sold his remaining properties to someone else after he had already owed money to the malva, to the lender. In such a case, too, the malva, the lender, can go to these lekuchos and say, I want those fields. You say you bought them? True. But you bought them after my shibud, after I already had a right to collect from this person. He sold you fields which were encumbered, which were obligated to me. So I can collect from your nechasim mishubodim. And similarly, a woman who's divorced can go and collect her kesuva from nechasim mishubodim if the husband sold his land subsequent to having signed the kesuva to her. So, since we learned in the last Mishnah that a nizik collects from idis and a ba'al chov collects from beinonis, our Mishnah comes to teach you that this right that a malve or a nizik or an ish, let's keep it to a malve and a nizik have to collect from idis and beinonis, that's only true if they are collecting from nechosim b'nei chorin. If they are collecting land which is still in the possession of the mazik or of the lova. But if they're coming to collect nechosim mishubodim when there are nechosim b'nei chorin, then they cannot collect from idis or benonis. It's only true if they can collect from nechosim b'nei chorin, from fields which are still in the possession of the mazik and the lova. So this is what the Mishnah means. Ein nifroin min nechosim mishubodim bimkom sheyesh nechosim b'nei chorin. A nizik or a malva cannot collect from nechosim mishubodim, from fields sold by the mazik or the lova subsequent to the damages or the loan, and which are now in the possession of lekuchos, if the mazik or the lova still has fields in his possession, nechosim b'nei chorin, free, unencumbered fields. V'yafilu hein ziburis. In other words, suppose the person, the mazik or the lova, sold away to another person his idis and benonis fields, retaining for himself only ziburis fields. And now, the nizik or the malve come to collect from him, and they say, I don't want to collect from your nechosim b'nei chorin, which are ziburis. I want to go to the person who bought them from you and collect those nechosim mishubodim, which are the idis, which is entitled to, which are entitled, I am entitled as a nizik to collect, or the beinonis, which I as a balchov, malve, is entitled to collect. No, doesn't work. Since he has b'nei chorin, even if the b'nei chorin is ziburis, the nizik and the malve, the nizik and the balchov, can only collect from b'nechosim b'nei chorin, even though they are ziburis. Finally, the Mishnah says, "Ein nifroin min nichse yisomim elo min haziburis." Suppose the mazik dies, or the lova dies, and he leaves properties to his children, to the estate, then the nizik and the malve can only collect from ziburis. They cannot collect from idis and beinonis. This too is mipnei tikkun ha'olam. Tikkun ha'olam here is the benefit of the orphans. For the benefit of the orphans, we do not allow the nizik or the malva to deprive them of the idis and beinonis left in the estate, but rather they can pay off their father's debts to the nizik or to the malva from ziburis, and their idis and beinonis remains untouched. And so, we have completed lesson number 16.